Hello and welcome to The Reading Life, WWNO's weekly look at the New Orleans literary scene. I'm Susan Larson. This week we'll be talking with Cornell Landry, celebrating his many children's books, especially Happy Mardi Gras. And we'll talk about the Mid-City Library with librarian Jessica Stiens and writer Barb Johnson, author of More of This World or Maybe Another. New Orleans native Cornell Landry is the author of Goodnight NOLA, Happy Jazz Fest, and One Dat, Two Dat, Are You a Who Dat, Monty the Lion, The Little January Man, and Happy Mardi Gras. I have to tell you, Cornell, there's no book title I love to say more than One Dat, Two Dat, Are You a Who Dat.
That's a very funny one. I enjoy that one, too. That, the way that one came about was my friend Lauren, Tom, when I would go into her stores, she would always ask me, you know, why don't you do a Who Dat book? Why don't you really think about doing something for the Saints? And I said, you know, I really don't know what I would do. And so I was in Barnes & Noble one day, and I had signed some books for them over there. And as I was leaving, out of the corner of my left eye, I caught the Dr. Seuss carousel. And at the top of the carousel was One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. And right underneath it was Green Eggs and Ham. Mm-hmm. So I kind of stopped dead in my tracks, and I thought, well, what about One Dat, Two Dat, Are You a Who Dat? And then I thought of the main character, Sam I Am, and Green Eggs and Ham. And I said, well, what about, you know, Fan I Am? And then put the whole story together around it about a little guy who all he's ever wanted to be is a true member of the Who Dat Nation and comes down to Who Datville or the New Orleans and runs into all the crazy characters you see in the dome and question whether he's truly worthy of being a member of the Who Dat Nation.
So you're six books in to this new career as a children's book author.
Still unbelievable to me. Yeah, it doesn't really sink in. Author is not a title that I ever thought I would be considered, but I guess by default now with six books,
right,
kind of actually makes me an author.
Tell us how you got started.
Goodnight NOLA was the first book that I did, and it came about basically my daughter, her first birthday, August 22nd, 2008, we started a bedtime ritual with her where we would put her to bed at the same time every night. And part of the ritual was, you know, getting her a bath bottle and then reading her a book. So about a week into it, August 29th, anniversary of Katrina, as part of the routine, when I started reading some of the books that she had out, I really questioned why she had the books that she had out. And I said, you teach at McGee. I said, you don't know of any bedtime stories in New Orleans? And she said, no, you know, there really aren't any. And so that night watching the news, it upset me visually watching how it was a poor, pitiful New Orleans type of sentiment on the news that, you know, we're never going to snap back. The city's so changed. It'll never be the same. And I kept thinking to myself, I said, well, you know, that's not really what I want my daughter to grow up knowing about New Orleans.
Right.
You know, there's so many traditions and customs and, you know, nobody celebrates food, fun, and family like we do. And in our architecture, you couldn't go anywhere else in the country and find buildings like we have. And so I wanted to incorporate some of those things. And so, you know, I just started with thinking about things I love. Goodnight red beans, goodnight rice, the pralines and Zataran spice kind of thing. And mm-hmm. it just sort of took off from there. And I wrote it out and did a PowerPoint presentation of it and had a friend illustrate it. And I had sold a house in Harvey that I had lived in prior to my marriage and sold it. So I had a little bit of disposable income. And I said, whatever this amount of money gets me, then that's how many books I'll get, and kind of ran with it from there. And I had taken the PDF file. I sent everyone an email, said, hey, look, here's a new project I'm working on. If you like it, forward it to everybody who you know who is either a New Orleanian or everybody wants to be a New Orleanian. So, you know, send it to them. And by the time the book actually came to fruition and was going to be in stores, the PDF file had already gotten viral on the internet. So when the books hit the market, it just kind of took on a life of its own.
So here we are. It's Mardi Gras.
Right.
And here's your newest book, Happy Mardi Gras. Was it just time you felt to do the Mardi Gras book?
Well, the Mardi Gras book, the way that actually came about was Sean Gautreau, the illustrator of mm-hmm. Happy Jazz Fest. He and I were at the Jazz Fest doing the book signing, and we had just met basically a month or two before, you know, when I found him on Craigslist to illustrate Happy Jazz Fest.
Really?
And so we didn't really know each other as friends. And so we're, you know, getting to know each other at the Jazz Fest while we're doing the signing. And he asked me, well, do you have any other projects in mind? I said, no, you know, not really. I didn't have any. And he said, well, I always wanted to do a Mardi Gras book because that's what he did prior to us meeting. He worked on floats for Blaine Kern. He did floats for Coup d'Etat. So that night I went home and I always say the hamsters in my head are running around. And so I wrote out Happy Mardi Gras and showed it to him the next day at the Jazz Fest. And he's like, oh, that's great. I said, well, you know, that might be the next book we do. And before we got a chance to do it, the Saints won the Super Bowl.
Right.
And so we did the one that two that are you a who dat. And then the Motley On called me and commissioned me to do a book for their 125th anniversary. So we did Monty the Lion. And then I did the Thibon en Janvier, the Little January Man, as a tribute to my grandmother. And so even though the Happy Mardi Gras would have been the third book that I had written, it's actually the sixth one that we actually printed. And it was just one that I guess it was a niche that people were looking for, because every time I would go to any of the boutiques uptown, they always say, you really need to do a Mardi Gras book. You really need to do a Mardi Gras book. So this one, I dedicated the book to Sean because he did such an outstanding job of illustrating it.
And he said that he wanted the book to have that feeling of the float.
Exactly. And that's what he did. Every picture in the book looks as if it could be on the side of a Mardi Gras float.
And I'm sure it takes him longer to illustrate the book than it takes you to write them.
Oh, absolutely.
So what's next for you? Have you thought of the next one?
There's two guys from the TV show Swamp People.
Chewed them.
Yeah. I had written a story for them, and we're in the process of getting the book completed if we decide to do it. And I had one that I wrote loosely based on the LSU football team, we'll say. A tiger and a honey badger taken on a zoo. So that one will probably be out in August.
Well, you be careful with those swamp people.
Yeah. I don't want them to shoot me.
No. Oh, I love talking with you, Cornell. Cornell Landry's Happy Mardi Gras is in bookstores and other shops all over town. Happy Mardi Gras indeed.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
The big beast drum did the big parade. All on the Mardi Gras day. All you could hear was the people say, ooh, that day.
Michael Patrick Welch is one of those New Orleans writers who does it all. You've seen his work in Gambit, Offbeat, Anti-Gravity, Newsweek, On the Lens. He's written two novels, The Donkey Show, and most recently, Y'all's Problem. And he's the author of one of the best guidebooks I've ever seen to New Orleans, The Underground Guide. The second edition was just released. A musician himself, he also teaches music in New Orleans public schools and hosts Noise Fest in his backyard. He performs as well, and he lives in the Bywater with his wife, Morgana King, his 2.5-year-old daughter, and his pet goat, Chauncey Gardner. Hi, Michael.
Hello. Happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras to you, too. When you send me your books, you put under your name in the return address, Broke Writer Looking for a Break. I hope this will help.
Yeah, I was trying to personalize it. I've worked in a newsroom myself, so I know that any kind of personalization on the outside of an envelope guarantees that somebody will not ignore it.
Multicolored Sharpies will do the trick.
Yep.
So tell me, you've just released the second edition of The Underground Guide. What are the differences between this one and the first one?
Well, the first one, it was sort of like the Obama healthcare bill. We got it through, but we knew that it was going to need a lot of improvements. And so we just fixed a lot of things that we didn't like from the first edition, but we also added probably about 40 pages of new bands and new rappers and new DJs, and there's a bunch of new interviews. We interviewed Trixie Minx about different burlesque events in town, and Bill Dykes, the comedian. We did a new comedy club section because there's like 8 new comedy clubs and around in the Bywater and whatnot. And Tony Barton, who owns Hell or High Water Tattoos, we helped us do a tattoo section, which was something a lot of people told us we needed to have in there. So
describe the ways in which this is different from your standard guide to New Orleans.
Well, first of all, it's the first and only guidebook that is specifically addresses people who come here to see music and to hear live music, which we sort of think is the majority of people who come here. But there's never been a guidebook that specifically honed in on all the clubs. And we have a band directory, which is definitely not something they have in other guidebooks, where you could sort of walk up to one of the banks of flyers, if Mitch Landry will let us have banks of flyers, and open up the New Orleans Underground Guide and read what bands, look at the flyers and see who's playing and find out what they're about and whatnot, so you know which shows to go to.
And you've got a great index that makes it really easy to
right.
use.
Right, yes, the index was extremely hard to do. Mm-hmm. But
and I love it that there are clothing optional guest houses.
Yeah. There's so many great B&Bs in Bywater, Marigny, great places you can stay where you get to meet the owner and they cook for you and
right.
whatnot. So yeah, that's where I would want to stay if I was. And you know, it also has record stores in it, which you
right.
can open up any New Orleans guide and it doesn't tell you where the record stores are. So yeah. There's just seems like there's a lot of obvious stuff that gets mm-hmm. left out of other guidebooks.
Mm-hmm. And bookstores, you know, and costume shops and oh, a little bit
yeah.
of everything. I love it.
We pretty much leave the French Quarter out of the book and it's still 300 pages
exactly.
of stuff.
There's
yeah.
so much to do.
Yeah.
Now, your newest book, Y'all's Problem, is mm-hmm. a novel. It's subtitled A Wild Costa Rican Love Story with a Side Order of Mistakes.
Uh-huh.
So tell us a little bit about that switch from the guidebook to Y'all's Problem, which you've been writing for a long time.
Yeah, I started writing a Y'all's Problem back in Florida when I lived there in 2000. I moved to New Orleans in 2000. I went from Tampa, where I was writing at the St. Petersburg Times, and I stayed in Costa Rica for several months writing this book. One of the protagonists is a young Costa Rican girl, and so I stayed in Costa Rica for a while, and that's actually how I ended up in New Orleans. I made some friends in Costa Rica who lived in New Orleans, and that's how I ended up moving here after that. The book follows a narrator who follows a young girl to Costa Rica, and if I tell you any more, then I give away the explosive conclusion. And it has a lot to do with animals. Animals find their way into the narrative a lot. I grew up near Sanibel Island, Florida, where I collected seashells, and we would actually sort of hunt the shells and then we would sell them to the shell shops. Horse conchs and, you know, all the shells that you know and love in Florida. So I actually know the name of every single seashell that you could possibly get in and around the Gulf of Mexico. So I kind of use all that knowledge. There's a lot about shelling, mm-hmm. as it's called for short.
So tell us what you'll be doing at the Ogden on February 23rd.
Well, I've been doing prototype versions of an event that involves a lot of musicians that I know that also write prose. Several of them have published books. Mike Williams from the heavy metal band I Hate God, which has been around for 25 years in New Orleans and tours the world all the time. He has a book of poetry that is in his second edition called Cancer as a Social Activity. And then GK from Garrett County Press published the biography of the bounce rapper 10th Ward Buck,
right,
who is an amazing guy and really hilarious and great with a crowd, whether he's doing music or we've had him read, and he just has everybody in the palm of his hand.
It's a terrific book.
Yeah, it is a great book, and it's got a collection of his photography and sort of a story of how he participated in the first big bounce parties that they had. Anyway, a lot of other musicians write. Ratty Skirvix writes. James Marler, the singer from Rotary Downs, is a really great poet. Luke Allen, who's from Happy Talk Band, songs are little stories, so he also writes prose. So anyway, all these people are going to each read one story and play one song. And there's about 10 people who are going to do it, lots of different musical names.
And you'll be reading too?
Yes, and I'm going to play videos from my hip-hop class. I teach a hip-hop class and writing class for little kids, and my musical contribution to this night is going to be some videos of the kids that
and
we
I've
recorded.
Seen those, and they are terrific.
I love those, yeah.
Oh, and that'll be at the Ogden Museum of Southern Art on February 23rd from 6 to 8. So glad to meet you at last,
Thank
Michael.
You.
Thanks so much. The Mid-City branch of the New Orleans Public Library will be celebrating its first birthday February 25th from 11 to 1. It's located in the American Can Company building at 3700 Orleans Avenue. With us to talk about that is Jessica Stiens, who's the head of branch services for the New Orleans Public Library, and Barb Johnson, a Mid-City author of More of This World or Maybe Another. Hi, Jessica.
Hey.
Hi, Barb.
Hey there, Susan.
Thanks for being here, you two. Now, Jessica, this marks a real landmark in the recovery of the New Orleans Public Library system, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does. Mid-City Library did not exist prior to Katrina and was opened a few years afterwards to serve the needs of that community, which had lost the Smith Library and Gentile Library and a number of other facilities nearby. So when it was first opened on Carrollton, it was a very busy branch. Things change and we needed to move that facility, and so we moved into American Can, which is a beautiful building with the cement floors and the high ceilings and just a very nice industrial look that people just really like when they go in.
So it's had that incarnation in the strip mall for a while.
Right.
And this is pretty permanent right now, isn't it?
Yes, it seems to be working out very well. Being in a building with tenants, residential tenants as well as business tenants, it's really a nice mix.
And what are some of the businesses around there?
Well, there is a coffee shop, and there is also a restaurant and some other retailers, and of course there's the market on Thursday afternoons.
Right, so it's pretty lively. It's kind of plugged into its scene. And the last time I was there, you were nice enough to take me on a tour of the branches, and there were all these animals inside from the Audubon Zoo and all these kids who were absolutely entranced. So it's a busy place.
Since moving from the other location on Carrollton to the Orleans Avenue location, the children's programming has increased, and they've had a lot more participation from families. So that's been really great.
And we should say that the Mid-City branch is open from 10 to 7 Monday through Thursday and 10 to 5 on Saturday.
Yes, it
right?
is.
Okay. And Barb, your wonderful book, More of This World or Maybe Another, is set partly in Mid-City. So when did you move there? What's your experience of that neighborhood?
I've lived in Mid-City off and on for over 30 years, so back in the 70s.
And how has it inspired you?
The library on Orleans Avenue is located where a lot of the action takes place. In the book, there's a trailer park, and that trailer park used to be located on the other side of the bayou in the same general vicinity as the library. And I was always curious about who lived in that trailer park, and so I just made up the story of who lived there.
Mm-hmm. What makes it such a good neighborhood for writers?
A couple of things play into that, and there are an enormous number of writers who are living in Mid-City right now. One of the things that's contributing to that is the University of New Orleans Creative Writing Program. It's a neighborhood that's convenient to the university, and so lots of people who come for the writing program move into that neighborhood and like it because it's an extremely diverse group of people. There are writers and artists, but it has always been the neighborhood that attracted immigrants as they came into the city. That was generally the place that they stopped first. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really diverse group of people who are there.
How important is it to you to live in a neighborhood with a library?
Well, I go to that library on Orleans Avenue all the time, number one, because it's very pretty. Mm-hmm. But you can sit in there and there's internet and computers, and it's a beautiful view looking out the windows of American Can. It's just a peaceful little stop. You can go down and get some coffee, and there's a wine shop as well. I'm just going to say, I'm just putting it out there, there's a wine shop, and it's just a great place. You can go and read a book and just be quiet, or you can work on something on the internet. I just thought it'd be an interesting time to go in and do a little writing.
Jessica, what can we expect at this birthday party?
Well, you can expect some children's programming kicking off around 11 o'clock. There will be story times and some crafts. We're going to try to fill it up with some other things, but it's going to be a fun time. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll, of course, have Barb Johnson there, as well as Ian McNulty and Constance Adler, talking about their works and how Mid-City has impacted those.
Now, Ian's written a book called Season of Night about living in New Orleans post-Katrina, and specifically, you know, in the Mid-City neighborhood. It's a memoir. And Constance's book, My Bayou, is about Bayou St. John. And Barb, a lot of your book centers on places where you've lived and worked, on Palmyra Street, mm-hmm. for example. That's been really important in your work. And then one of the things that strikes me is that so many other writers, as you say, a lot of them fostered by the UNO program. The former state poet laureate Brenda Marie Osby lives in Mid-City. So do Joseph and Amanda Boyden. It's a real scene. You've got a lot of things that make life pleasant and interesting there, don't you think?
It is interesting.
All right. My guests today have been Jessica Steins of the New Orleans Public Library and Barb Johnson, author of More of This World or Maybe Another. Thanks a lot, you two.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Here's what's on tap in the literary life this week. Bonnie Schneider signs Extreme Weather, a guide to surviving flash floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, snowstorms, tsunamis, and other natural disasters. Thursday, February 23rd at 6 p.m. at Octavia Books. Michael Patrick Welch and other writer musicians discuss and sign their books at Ogden After Hours, Thursday, February 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Ogden Museum of Southern Art. Celebrate the first birthday of the Mid-City branch of the New Orleans Public Library. That's in the American Can Company building at 3700 Orleans Avenue. Saturday, February 25th from 11 to 2. Writers Constance Adler, Barb Johnson, and Ian McNulty appear to discuss and sign their books set in the neighborhood at 1 p.m. James Farwell signs The Pakistan Cauldron, Conspiracy, Assassination, and Instability. Saturday, February 25th at 1 p.m. at Barnes & Noble Metairie. Constance Adler signs her memoir of life along Bayou St. John, My Bayou, New Orleans Through the Eyes of a Lover, Tuesday, February 28th at 6 p.m. at Octavia Books. Writers and fans of all things fantasy, futuristic, and paranormal will gather at the New Orleans Marriott March 2nd through 4th for Fantasy on the Bayou, with special guests Maggie Shane, Bob Mayer, Kristen Painter, Leanna Renee Heber, Diana Rowland, and literary agents and editors from New York Publishers and ePress. There will be more than 25 workshops along with pitch sessions, editor-agent panels, and book signings. Additional information is available at fantasyonthebayou.blogspot.com or email conference at romance-ffb.com. The Walker Percy Center for Writing and Publishing at Loyola University will offer this spring's Writing Institute course for the community called Writing Well-Crafted Fiction with instructor Stephen Ray, author of Finn McCool's Football Club. The course will meet Tuesday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. March 20th through May 8th at Loyola's Beaubay Hall, room 341. For more information, email A. Goldman at loyno.edu or call 504-865-3389. And check out the new website for the Tennessee Williams New Orleans Literary Festival, tennesseewilliams.net. This year's fest is shaping up to be a good one. Major support for The Reading Life is provided by Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Christwood Retirement Community, the University of Louisiana at Lafayette Press, and from the estate of Dr. Judith Bradow. The Reading Life is produced by Jenny Lawson and is a production of WWNO. You can listen to us anytime or subscribe to our podcast at wwno.org. And you can email us at thereadinglife@wwno.org. I'm Susan Larson. Thanks for listening and keep reading.